Okay, here are your answers. We're building upon Acts 17, verse 16 through 34, entitled Hidden in Plain Sight. When Paul left Thessalonica, where did he go? Berea. Why? To escape the unbelieving Jews. Provide verses to support your answer. That would be verse 5. What happened after he arrived there? You could have had, he shared the gospel, and they were well received. But the Jews of Thessalonica came after them. Was he able to stay? The answer to that would be no. Where was he sent? To Athens. What happened when he got there? You could have said that he began to teach and preach, and that would have been correct, but it started with him sightseeing, so I was looking for anything related to sightseeing, just beginning to just walk around and see things. All right, number two, after walking around Athens and seeing the situation, his spirit was stirred, according to verse 16. Instead of being impressed with Athens as a tourist or like a tourist, he was depressed because he knew that the city's artistry was but a manifestation of its idolatry. Lifeless statues and unanimated sculptures were unable to receive worship and to respond to sacrifices and prayers. So if there was a response, it was given by demons. You follow that? A log can't respond. If you pray into a log, can't respond. If you pray into a doll, if you're praying to a granite or a porcelain or a marble sculpture, it can't respond. So if you get a response, it's a sign of demonic activity. This passage teaches, this number three, that we should follow the example of Paul and share the gospel anywhere as shown by him sharing in the synagogue and in the market. Okay, number four. Paul was eventually extended an invitation to speak at what famous location? You could have said Mars Hill, and you also could have said Areopagus. They both mean the exact same thing. Who invited him there? It was two groups, and the first one was the Stoics, which believed in pantheism, which says that God is in all. Therefore, God is all things. You got it? The second one was the Epicureans, which believed in pantheism, which says that there are many gods and that they were so transcendent that they did not trifle in the petty affairs of men. What did they call Paul? A babbler. This word literally means a seed picker. This captures what animal and what behavior. It captures a bird that would move from plant to plant and gather seeds and take those seeds to another location of his choosing. So they were accusing Paul of getting a little bit from here, a little bit from there, and just putting it all together, but that he didn't have any concrete substance within his argument. This was what they were trying to say about it. When witnessing to the lost, it is important to find common ground to begin a redemptive conversation. What did Paul find and use? He found a placard or an inscription that said, to the unknown God. This was something that was in their midst that they had placed there. Where was it located? It was located among all of the other idol gods. Number six, first he taught them that God is infinite, which means God cannot be confined to temples. Okay? That God cannot be confined to temples. And you find that in verse 24. And cannot be made with man, with men's hands, is what you should have put in that last blank on number six. Which group was he addressing? At that point, he was addressing the Stoics. Okay, go back up there to 4A, the small Roman numeral 1. And you can make the connection a little bit better. Okay? He was talking to the Stoics. And what was in the backdrop of Paul as he was talking to them? The city skyline of Athens. All those temples and all of those idolatrous statues and sculptures. Okay? Number seven. Second, he taught that God is intimate, that God is not far away from us, and this is according to verse 27. From the first two points, we learn that God is infinitely high, but he is also intimately nigh. Jesus is who made God accessible to whoever repents. Number eight. God is also, according to the text, indiscriminate because he commands all men to repent. He will not judge a certain group, but he will judge the whole world, okay, according to verse 31. Verse 31 asserts that God return is imminent. Okay? Christ will return to come and get us, and then there will be a time where all of us will have to stand before God and give account of our stewardship on the earth. And so, God is imminent. His return is imminent. Okay, and that word imminent means about to occur, close in time. It says, no man knows when, according to Matthew 24 and 36, it behooves all of us to make the unknown God known to everyone we meet. Hope you did good. Hope you enjoyed it. This is Pastor Morris. Love you. Have a good night and rest of the week. Bye-bye.